If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tastesofchicago.com to order today.
Obviously, the big story here this weekend in the new year, unfortunately, is not so joyous or funny. Of course, it was a terrorist attack, or at least that's what I'm calling it. I guess I should wait until the authorities officially label it as such, and maybe I can get into
Are you talking about New Orleans?
Yes.
The FBI is.
They're calling it a terrorist.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just know that there are many different ways people use to describe different things, and I didn't want to get ahead of officials by calling it that. But thank you very much, Mr. Kessler. And here to break a lot of this down, including the idea that vehicles really are the new terrorist weapon of choice. Tom Akitis, professor of history at DePaul University and author of Violent Extremists, Understanding the Domestic and International Terrorist Threat. Dr. Akitis, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
I'm very happy to do it.
What we saw was another example of what we've seen a lot more over the past few years. This really is becoming, as you wrote, the terrorist weapon of choice, the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been since 2010. At that point, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula was publishing a magazine called Inspire. And in the second edition, they were encouraging people to engage in, to be walk-on terrorists, to just don't wait to be part of our group, just strike a blow on behalf of the cause, and we'll bless it after the fact. And they had a picture of the Chicago skyline, and the lead article was The Ultimate Lawnmower, and it contained instructions on how to turn a pickup truck into an improvised tank. Told the driver, be sure to have weapons with you if you can get them, so you can shoot it out at the end when your vehicle crashes, and to try and find, pedestrian areas that are very crowded with no other vehicles. And, of course, this guy followed that to a T. It doesn't mean that he read the article. It meant that this has become a mainstream tactic for people, engaging in terrorism of all varieties. And we've seen the people on the far right as well as the Islamists make use of it.
And you said that this article in 2010 actually had the Chicago skyline on it?
Yep, had a picture of the Chicago skyline. I think that was just happened to be a good shot they
right.
got. But, I mean, the message was, target Americans and kill them whenever and wherever you can and make use of this particular weapon, which is very effective, which is the improvised destructive vehicle. Now, they talked about upgrading it and putting armor on it, all kinds of stuff. You don't need to do that. I mean, as we've seen, this is quite effective.
Obviously, these are suicide missions, essentially, right? They're different
Absolutely,
in scope than
yeah.
we see, but this guy knew that he was going to end up dead.
It's extremely likely. They understand that, and they consider what they would. Well, in the case of the Islamist extremist, as he appears to have been, they consider it a martyrdom operation. So they're willing to pay the ultimate price for that. And it's a low tech, low cost, relatively easy to pull off operation. Doesn't require any particular skills or training. And is quite lethal, as we saw.
At the root of what terrorism is, it's to instill fear in the rest of us going about our daily lives. And of course, 9/11 did that to the extreme and was huge and an expensive mission to pull off, a highly technical one. And they were able to do that. And of course, that struck fear in maybe our flying capabilities. But there's something about these large gathering truck ones that strike in an even deeper or different place inside of us. I mean, that they are effective at spreading terror, even if none of us ever experience, God willing, something like it personally.
Well, two things. First of all, terror is a means to an end, which is why so many of us in the field have gotten away from using it and prefer the term violent extremist, because that focuses on the ideological component, which really is the defining characteristic. But you're absolutely right about the desire to spread fear. And the thing that people need to keep in mind, and it's easy to lose sight of this, the odds of the average person becoming a terrorist are remarkably low, becoming a victim are remarkably low. It's easy to forget that when you, in fact, are in the midst of these things. But your chances of dying in a terrorist attack are less than your chances of being eaten by a bear in Yellowstone Park or being struck by lightning. people can go on and Google actuarial tables. The insurance industry has, they know what kills us, and terrorism isn't very high on the list. But you're right. I mean, if it keeps people away from venues, that's a victory for them. That's why I always stress, you know, don't take yourself hostage to fear. Be, you know, exercise situational awareness, but go on with your life.
Okay, and I agree with that. And I've gone to gatherings after the Highland Park shooting, which is maybe a different scenario, but went to my 4th of July parade in Downers Grove afterwards. But, you know, I do, you know, take a look up at the buildings, right? We all do that. Been in many Chicago parades and Pride Parade, and what I see does give me comfort when I walk into one, because in order to even walk into a parade area, it seems in Chicago, I'm going past a million snowplows and garbage trucks that are blocking entrances. I mean, that is effectively the strategy to combat this exact attack, right? Just put big, heavy things as much as you can between the outside world and the inside world.
You're absolutely right. And that's why this was an egregious security failure, because we had strategic warning that there was a likelihood of increased ISIS terrorist activity around the holidays. Not only is it the two religious holidays overlap this year, Hanukkah and you know, and Christmas, but in addition to that, you have a transition between presidential administrations that creates further uncertainty. And, you know, we also had a recent attack in December in Magdeburg, Germany, exploiting a similar vulnerability. And the police, in for whatever reason, in New Orleans, just did not exercise sufficient caution. The Ballards were down because they wanted, you know, repair and all that kind of thing. I get that. But on the other hand, you know, that that doesn't excuse, you know, the fact that they put a police car there, but the car, the wheels were farther apart than they needed to be to actually block, you know, to block the attack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so incredibly, it's so tragic. I mean, the way that it happened, because it was so preventable. I mean, I was, a long time ago, I was invited to go out to O'Hare and take a look at, just do a walkthrough with their security. I remember standing on the deck of the parking garage looking down, and I said, you know, take a look at the concrete barriers. They're at the doorways, they're wider apart than the wheelbase of a car. And if that's the case, you don't have a barrier.
Right.
And that's what happened. Putting one patrol car in the middle, probably unmanned, wasn't sufficient to stop them. And look what happened.
Right. And at the press conference, there was even a little testy exchange about, well, okay, but the you had a police vehicle there, and to your point, there was still lanes in. And then the person at the press conference said, "Yeah, well, yeah, but that was the sidewalk." Well, someone intent on killing a bunch of people.
What are you going to do? Put a sign up say, "Terrorists, please do not use the sidewalk."
Right?
I mean, really? That is a very lame excuse, as you correctly did. And I think heads are going to probably roll.
Right.
You know, on that. But that.
And I hate to pass any blame. These are tough jobs to do, and I know in the aftermath it can seem so easy. But when I walk into the Pride Parade area, I mean, you are going past gigantic vehicles, these streets and sanitation vehicles, and this is not some new gathering on Bourbon Street.
The only thing I can say, it doesn't excuse it, but it makes it a little more understandable, is all the things you described are clearly defined narrow period of time events.
True.
That are located in a single place. New Year's Eve is a pretty amorphous, diffuse kind of gathering in multiple locations. Yes, there is a huge crowd, and the fact that they put the patrol car there tells me they knew that there was something they needed to protect against. They just didn't do it right. So, you know, but on the other hand, they're gearing up for both the Sugar Bowl, which is now being played today, and the Super Bowl, which will be played, you know, in February. But that doesn't mean you ignore everything else. And all it would have taken, if you look at the way they blocked, you know, blocked Bourbon Street off afterwards, they had two vehicles. That's all it would have taken. You're not going to stop casualties. What you're trying to do is to prevent a catastrophic attack. You know, when you walk into a football game now or something where you go through a metal detector, you get a quick wave at the wand, people go, what good does that do? They're not going to stop a knife or a gun in all likelihood, but they are going to catch a suicide vest. And the odds are, in a crowd, if you try to use a firearm, people are going to jump on you fairly quickly. No guarantee of that. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, again, the Germans made the same mistake. They had an enclosed area, but the entrance that the emergency vehicles would use to get in, and they have to have them, but it wasn't sufficiently secured and it wasn't guarded. And, you know, when the German officials showed up at the scene, they were roundly booed by the crowd, you know, for having allowed this to happen. And, of course, they also. And the other thing, of course, is I guarantee this will come out in the coming days. It's the same thing in Germany. There were warning signs. The person's behavior changed. Friends and family noticed something different. That is almost always the case. And it's seldom the case that anybody speaks up. And that's the other piece of it. And if we just get around away from, we're going to throw the guy in jail and say, hey, I'm really concerned. This person is getting into serious trouble. Why don't we approach this as, hey, let's get him before he does anything and maybe rehabilitate or at least contain the threat.
Yeah,
right. Wants to do that.
Completely different circumstances. But after the United Healthcare shooting, a perpetrator was found, how many people came forward and said he would become recluse in the last couple months. But yeah, I think that's a hard thing to do if it's someone you know and love, or what are you doing? You call 911 because someone seems distant, right? You know, like, it's a hard thing to kind of tack off.
But it could be made easier if we got our mind wrapped around the notion of restorative rather than retributive justice.
Right.
Look, any of us with kids have had some training or some exposure to the idea how to spot the signs of drug or alcohol addiction and how to intervene, how to get your kid help, how to spot the signs of suicide and get your kid help. What is so hard about taking a step further and saying, how do we get help, you know, for someone we fear is becoming radicalized? They do it in Britain, not perfectly, but it's at least worth it.
Interesting.
Called the Prevent Program.
It doesn't
have a perfect track record, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Dr. Bacchides, we could talk about this, and that's a whole other avenue. In fact, maybe we will call you back for that part of the equation. No, really, about, is there a national push that needs to be made? Here are the warning signs for XYZ, and here's the number you call for something like that. You know, we now have 988 for mental health crises. Is it part of that? Is that the system that we use to handle this? I don't know. We're not going to solve it today, Dr. Bacchides, but I appreciate your time, okay?
Happy to do it. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.